Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, give them another hand. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's time for the Word. Hope you're excited about the Word this morning. It's good to be home again. Just had a wonderful time in Florida. And those of you that don't know where I went to a pastor's conference in Jacksonville and was invited by a friend. And what was a little bit different about this pastor's conference is that you could only go if you were the pastor of a mega church. And you say, well, pastor, you're not the pastor of a mega church. That's right. But I got friends that are. And some of their staff wasn't able to go, so I got an opportunity to go. And I spent a lot of times going to the breakout sessions, and they were wonderful. Matter of fact, I went to 3 children's church sessions. And I want to tell you, when I left there, my head was spinning. I'm telling you, you know, children's church people are the most happy-go-lucky people you ever meet. The guy that was teaching this class, he was so happy that he made me nervous. I mean, he was just like, it's like, calm down for just a minute. Let me get some notes, but... And by the time I got out of there, I'm glad I'm not a children's pastor. And some of us are called to do certain things, amen. But it was a wonderful time and had an opportunity to hear some wonderful teaching. And it was one of the most productive things that I've ever done as a pastor. It really encouraged my life, and it really allowed me to have some principles and gather some principles. That was really encouraging to me as a pastor, and I'm glad for that, and I'm thankful for that. I heard Josh did a wonderful job, and that he preached well, and I'm glad for Josh. He's a great guy, and just thankful for him and his ministry, and he's a great man. If you have your copy of God's Word this morning, and I've been in a series called Why Church, and the last couple of times that we've been together, I've been preaching this series and just kind of giving some introduction to it. And a few weeks ago, we talked a little bit about why church and who you are and why it's important. And the Bible says that you're a royal priesthood and that you're a holy nation and you're a chosen generation. And we talked a little bit about who we are in Christ and the importance of that and why church. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about our inheritance as believers, that God has given us an inheritance as believers, and when we recognize who we are in Christ, there are things that are accessible to us as believers that we have access through the blood of Jesus Christ, that everything that God has for us is not just the fact that we can go to heaven, but there's things here on earth that God has given us and given us access to that we can live victorious in this life. Aren't you thankful that God gives you the strategies and builds things into your life that allows you to have victory in this life? Amen? And so we talked a little bit about that. But this morning I want to talk a little bit about why church, and I want to take a couple of weeks and I want to talk a little bit about creating atmospheres, climates, and strongholds. And, you know, over the years, as a pastor, I read an article this week, and it was interesting, and it talked about the rise and fall of churches. And 6 of the top 10 churches in 1980, attended churches that is, or what was perceived to be the top 10 churches, 6 of them are in non-existence right now in 1980. And it's interesting because I have watched culture over the years where churches begin to take off, and I see the rise, and then they get to a point, and all of a sudden they ride it back down. And what happens is that I think a lot of folks lose the fact or the sense of what their purpose is, what the purpose of the church is. And so we see at times that churches can become cultural, and it's interesting. But I want to take a few minutes this morning. If you'll turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I want to read a few verses of Scripture there, and then I want to turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. Now, will you let me work this out this morning? Because I need a few minutes to kind of work this out. And I want to lay some foundation to this. And I won't get through it all this morning, but I want to lay some foundation. Because my desire as a pastor is not just to be a church where people come in and they do religious time and they leave. And that's all, that, you know, and that's all do good. That's all fine. But my desire as a pastor is that we create a church and a church culture and an environment to where when people come in and have a need in their life, God can meet that need in their life. And that if someone comes in and needs healing emotionally, God can heal them emotionally. If they come in and they don't know Christ and they been searching for significance and they can find Christ. If they need healing in their body, they can find healing in their body. If they need their marriage repaired, they can have their marriage repaired. But that just doesn't happen. I mean, there's a culture that has to be created. There's a atmosphere and a climate that has to be created by a church. It's not something that God just automatically does just because you call yourself a church. We have to prepare ourselves in maturity and in spiritual preparation to put our place in the place to where we create that atmosphere. And so as a pastor, that is my greatest desire, is to create an atmosphere where people can be set free. People can find liberty. That people enjoy coming to church. They enjoy worship. They enjoy serving God. They enjoy coming. They don't wake up and look at church as a grudge or look at coming to church as something that is heavy, but it's something that's liberating in their life. That there's freedom and liberty that's there. And so this morning, now if you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained of good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." Now if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want to kind of try to marry these two verses of Scripture the best way that I can, because I really believe the Lord spoke to me about something this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's just begin reading, actually, in verse 7. It says, "Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played?" Verse 8. "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance." Now I want you to see that. I want you to hear that this morning. "There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance." Verse 11, "Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me." Verse 12, "Even so, since we are zealous for spiritual things, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." Now these are two interesting verses of Scripture. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul is making the case for when people speak that it's important that there's understanding in what is said. In other words, what he's saying is that as learned as the Apostle Paul was, as smart as he was, as educated as he was, he understood that it didn't matter how educated he was, it didn't matter what his background was. If he spoke and people did not understand what he was saying, then he was not accomplishing what he has set out to do. It's like that in life. It doesn't matter what you do in life or what you do, but if you don't have the ability to communicate, then what you're saying is never heard, or it never has an influence. In other words, it doesn't accomplish anything. In other words, the message is to be clear so that those who hear it does not feel like strangers or foreigners to those who speak. And there in verse 10, it tells us that. And it says that there are no voices or there's no spoken language that does not have significance. Now the church, there are times when people come into the church, and there's times when we as the church has created our own subculture to where we speak things and people look at us and say, what are they talking about? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Folks will visit and there'll be a lingo, a church lingo, and people will be like, what in the world are they saying? What are they talking about when they say gifts of the Spirit? What are they talking about when they say moving of the Holy Ghost? What are they talking about when they mention certain things? So Paul here is making a case that there's no expression that is not heard. There's no expression. Every voice has an influence, or every voice has significance. In other words, when we say something as the church, we're to know what we're saying, and we're to say what we're trying to say. In other words, we're to express and to make sure people understand that when we communicate the gospel, that people have an understanding of what the truth is and what the truth of gospel is. And so, every voice conveys a message, he says. Now, the voice is a vehicle of the Spirit. And it's what's in your spirit is revealed through the vehicle of your voice. When we speak to someone, they get more than just your words. How many know that? That when you communicate with others and talk to others, they receive more than just what you're saying. They get the spirit of what you're saying. They hear not only your voice, but they hear your spirit also. That is the context in which Paul is talking about. It's some of what Paul is saying. He's talking about those. He's talking about the communication of how we speak, and that the Spirit of God has a voice. And when we speak, someone will get more than just what we say, because your spirit is attached to it. Your spirit is attached to how you communicate. Somebody can come by me, and the way that they ask me a question, I can tell what the attitude of what they're saying is, right? Someone else could ask the same question, but it being a different attitude, but I can read what their spirit is by how they ask the question. Anybody understand that? And Hebrews chapter 1, 11 verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the tangible material. It is the natural. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And in verse 3, it says, the world was framed by the word of God, or the voice of God, and things which are seen were not made by the things which are visible. In other words, to see the things, there are things that are made that we see, that we see them as a, like a monitor. We see the monitor, but we don't see how that monitor was made. In other words, we see the things that were made by the things that do not appear. In other words, we see what things are by what's manifested. And when we see things, even though we see things, we don't see the origin of those things. We don't see, and it said, and the worlds were framed by the word of God. What that means is we see a tangible earth, right? But what we didn't see was how it was made. That's unseen. But we know it was made. Why? Because there's a manifestation of the natural. Because of what He made. We see those things. The spiritual realm that is invisible. The material realm that is visible and tangible and temporary. And even though there are things that we see naturally in the natural realm, came from some things that we could not see in the spiritual realm. And though we can see the earth, we know that it came in operation by the things we can't see. We know that God said, let there be light, and there was light. We know that God spoke the world into existence. We know that by His voice, He created everything that we see. It's the same thing with man, even in the natural things that are created. As I said, we see a monitor, we see a chair, we see a building. And though we see them, we did not see the origin of those things, or how they were made, or when they were made. And so the thoughts and hearts of the mind of a person, in other words, before something is created in someone's mind, it is a thought. It is an imagination. It's in their mind. It's uncreated, and it's just an image. So before this monitor came about, it was a thought in someone's mind. It was an intent. It was an imagination in someone's mind until it was created. The same way with the world. The same way with God. The Bible said that He knew you from the womb. The Bible said that from the foundation of the world, God knew and established our lives. So, in the spirit realm, in God's mind, we were a thought. In God's mind, we were an intent. In God's mind, we were thought of before we even arrived. Isn't that good news? And then when you came, you were the expression or the image of God. You're the expressed image of who God is. But first of all, you were just in the mind of God. And so, spiritual things, the spirit realm, always seeks to manifest itself through an expression and then manifest itself in the natural. That's how spiritual things work, both positive and negative. In other words, things that are negative, the enemy, the devil, spiritual things, the enemy seeks to find expression through people. And then once that expression is made, then it becomes manifested. And so many times that seeking the ultimate expression is this, because the spiritual world is invisible and not tangible, as long as something remains invisible and in the spirit realm, it doesn't have an ultimate expression in this world. So this is what I'm saying. I'm saying this, as long as something remains in the spirit world, and it has no vehicle to express itself, it'll always remain in the spiritual world. But once someone receives and opens up and receives it, then that thought, then that action, then that stronghold can be released and manifested in the natural world. It's the spiritual realm. It's how the spiritual realm is manifested. And though we were in the thoughts and the feelings and the intent of God, God called us forth, and when we came forth, we were an expressed image of who He was. God's expression became material and real, and something that you can stand on and touch. We're tangible now. But we once were just in the mind of God. Now we're the expression of God's image. And because we need to know, and see, this is why that's important. Because churches are an expression of the spirit realm, or something that has been accessed through the spirit realm. Churches can create climates and atmospheres and cultures that express what they've yielded to. In other words, that you can create a church culture, and it's dependent upon how the people has responded to spiritual things. How people has responded to the things of the Spirit. Now there's a couple of things I want to talk about when it comes to atmosphere, climates, and strongholds. First of all, the response to spiritual influence creates atmosphere. A response to spiritual influence creates atmosphere. If you know that spirits and principalities and powers seek influence to influence humanity, they can't make you do anything, but they can influence you. They can influence you, and that's what creates an atmosphere. An atmosphere is a result of responding to a spiritual influence. So an atmosphere in a room is a result of responding to a spiritual influence. It's like this. I can walk into a building and I can sense that people are mad in that building. Why? Because of the atmosphere that I've walked into. I can walk into a room and tell that people have been arguing, or that people, I can walk into a room where there's joy and can tell there's joy that is in that room. Why? Because what has happened is there's been an atmosphere created. There's been an atmosphere created by people who's responded to a spirit. They've responded to a certain spirit of something, so there's an atmosphere that is in that room. There were times as a kid I would come home and I could tell I was in trouble. You know why? Because when I walk in the room, I knew that the atmosphere was not joyous. And I knew the look. There was an expression of the spiritual influence that can happen in a church. We become the expression of the atmosphere that we create in a church culture. People can walk in this church and they can feel the atmosphere of this church. They may not be able to know what it's like. They may not be able to put a finger on it. But they can walk into this room and they can tell whether or not this is a place that has joy in it. They can walk into this place and they can sense whether or not this is a place that is welcoming, or a place that is loving, or a place that the presence of God is here. You don't have to say nothing. They can just sense it through the atmosphere of the room when they walk into it. I've walked into churches and buildings, and I'm telling you, you'd have thought everybody died. Right? And it's because there's been an atmosphere created in that church. They've responded to a spiritual influence that has created an atmosphere in that church, and that atmosphere is a prevailing atmosphere that is over the church, and it's because the people have responded to something in the spirit realm that has allowed that church to remain in that atmosphere. And so, atmospheres are spiritual influences or have been created. They've influenced. Atmosphere is a result of responding to a spiritual influence. There are atmospheres, positive and negative, and we as believers have to understand how to respond to spiritual atmospheres. How to create an atmosphere. See, God can't work in the body of Christ and in certain churches, or God can't move in some churches because the atmosphere is always a certain way. Because an atmosphere is created, it doesn't allow the liberty of the Spirit of God to move in that church. And what it does, it handcuffs the body. It handcuffs the moving of God. It handcuffs the Spirit of God. And so, spiritual influence. So, when you come in here, you know why we worship when you come in first on Sunday morning? Because I know some of you walk into this building, and you and Sally has been in a fight before you got to the parking lot. And that mad spirit that's on you, when you walk through those doors, you come through this door and you bring it in here. Okay, none of y'all like that. Y'all just looking at me like, was he riding in my car this morning? But we bring in things in our life. There's been a spiritual experience in our life, or there's been spiritual influences, whether that's positive or negative, and we bring it into this building. We bring it in to this fellowship, and we all come in, and we've all been different places. We walk through different things, and we come into this room, and I want to tell you, the enemy all the time wants to influence the atmosphere. The goal of the enemy on Sunday morning is to create an atmosphere in this place where God cannot work. Where God cannot change lives. Where people won't come to Christ. Where people can't get free. Where He can create an atmosphere where people are not changed. That's the goal of the enemy. But if the people of God come in and say, we're not going to allow the atmosphere to be determined by the enemy, but we're going to create an atmosphere of liberty and worship. We're going to create an atmosphere where God can work and where God can change lives. Why? How is that? Because we have to respond to the spiritual influences in our life. God wants to create an atmosphere in here. Now, there's times when we come on Sunday mornings, and I don't know if you notice it. I notice it. I guess because I'm a pastor. But there's times I come in here, and I feel like I'm preaching to the cemetery down on the corner down there. But it's not a negative thing. What I'm saying is, and there's times you can come in and there's liberty and there's freedom. Like this morning, you can feel the presence of God in this place. There is a liberty. And that happens because we're human. There's a human nature about us. But the goal is, as the church, is to create an atmosphere to where that God just doesn't show up occasionally, or that God just doesn't show up every once in a while, but that we create an atmosphere that every time we come together, that this atmosphere has the chance to change the lives of people that walk in this building. Which means you can walk in with a bad attitude, and God can change that attitude. Why? Because the atmosphere of this place is different than the atmosphere at your house, or the atmosphere of your job, or the atmosphere of where you just came from, or walked from, or been at. That's creating. See, that's what the church is created to do. Is that God wants to create. God's looking for some people. He's looking for some churches. He's looking for some believers that'll be willing to say, God, we want to create an atmosphere that the presence of God can show up. And when I walk in on Sunday morning, if I'm depressed, that changes because I've walked into the atmosphere of God. I can come in discouraged and be encouraged by the time I leave. I can walk in with a need in my body, and the presence of God can touch my life and can change me and create an atmosphere where God can work. But the thing is, we've become satisfied with just atmospheres and just moments of God working, and not been satisfied with creating a culture where God works. And so, we respond to the Spirit. See, it's interesting. God is the initiator. We are always the responder to God in life. We're never the initiator. God set it up that way. That's why the Scripture says this. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. What does that mean? Because God gave you breath, you praise God. Right? God gave you breath, so you praise God. What are you doing? You're responding to the goodness of God. Praise Him according to His mighty acts and His excellent greatness. In other words, that we are to respond to the goodness of God. So when God works in our life, in other words, we're to respond to the spiritual influence that God has in our life. So when we come into the sanctuary, we are to praise Him according to His mighty acts and His excellent greatness. Because He's been great, because of His mighty acts in my life, when I come into this room, I'm going to respond with praise because God has been good. He's the initiator. I'm the responder. And so we're to create atmospheres to where when we come into this room, we can respond to the goodness of God. Okay, just me. I got that. All right. So when the Spirit responds, it creates an atmosphere. When you respond to what God is doing, here's what happens. I'm just going to get real. Can I get real for just a few minutes? I've kind of tiptoed around here about for the first 15 minutes. I'm just going to just go ahead and go with it, all right? Let's just go ahead and just kind of rub off the. I know we got guests, but I'm just going to. Here's what happens. Here's what happens in our lives. God, we come into church and we begin to worship. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God begins to move. And all of a sudden, we feel the presence of God, but we don't respond. We're like, I know that's God. I know God wants me to worship. I know God wants me to raise my hands or to shout. I know God wants me to respond. I know God wants me to know the presence of God is there. But what happens is, we don't do it. Why? Because we've been so influenced by everything else in our lives, we've lost the ability to respond to God when He initiates something to us. That's why when the Spirit of God begins to move and all of a sudden worship breaks out, and I felt it this morning. See, some of you needed a dance this morning. But you didn't dance. You know why you didn't dance? Because you were afraid of what somebody thought beside you. You were afraid because I got a guest here today, and every time I bring a guest, they act crazy. They just start running, they start shouting, and my guest gets embarrassed. Listen, we're responding. Listen, the enemy wants to seek expression just like God does. And if the enemy can keep you from worshiping, if the enemy can keep you from responding, if the enemy can keep you from doing everything that God has initiated, then he's defeated the purpose and it changes the atmosphere in a fellowship. That's why I can't wait to the day when God falls on this place and everybody realizes, hey, I'm going to allow God to be free and I'm going to be free. I'm going to respond to what God is doing. I'm not going to allow the outside influences to keep me from being free in the things of God. That's what happens. We allow it to initiate. Number two, an atmosphere that is sustained creates a climate. Now think about this for a moment. An atmosphere is that which is a response to a spiritual influence. Okay? Your home, if you're fussing and fighting in your home all the time, yelling, screaming, hollering in your house all the time, that is the spiritual influence of your home. That influences. What does that do? Over a sustained period of time, it creates an atmosphere of fussing and fighting, right? If an atmosphere is sustained for a long time, it creates what's called a climate. Now, look at this. Certain things, a spiritual climate, is when certain things are tolerated or even celebrated and acceptable because atmospheres that are sustained for long periods of time and the way that people respond to the Spirit, in other words, it's like this. Indiana has an atmosphere or has a climate. If someone would say, well, what's the weather like in Indiana? You'd say, well, in the winter it's cold, we get a little bit of snow. In the summer it's hot, right? That's the climate. But every once in a while, the atmosphere changes. In December, you can get a day that's 75 degrees, right? What's happened? There's been a disruption in the atmosphere. It's not the climate, but it's been a disruption in the atmosphere. Same way, if it's a summer day and it goes down into the 30s, it's a disruption. It's the atmosphere that's a disruption in the climate. See, now in order for it to be hot and sunny all the time, there would have to be an atmosphere that would be sustained for a period of time that would literally change the climate. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So if God creates an atmosphere in the church where we just don't have occasional time that God moves or an occasional time that God shows up, see, there's a time every once in a while God will move and we'll leave and we'll say, oh my, that was a great time, right? But then we come the next week and we go, what's wrong with that preacher? He acts like he never picked the Bible up before. What's wrong with him? See what I'm saying? Atmospheres change. But when an atmosphere is sustained, you create a climate. And that climate has the ability to dictate and to become a place and where you have a consistency of something. An atmosphere disrupts the environment, where a climate creates a consistency of something. So a sustained atmosphere creates a climate in the church. There is a climate. There is the move of the Spirit of God. In other words, even at moments when the Spirit of God moves, look, it's like this. There are some times that some services you go, man, God didn't move, or we didn't see God do much today. But it doesn't discourage you because why? Because you know that's not the normal climate. That next Sunday, you know God will show up because the consistent climate is that God has a consistency of showing himself strong in a place. And the goal as the fellowship is that we create a climate in here And in church, where there's a consistency in what God does in the lives of people. That way you don't come to church hoping God does something. You don't come to church hoping that the Spirit of God's going to... You don't come to church hoping that I'll find an answer to what I'm praying for. Hoping that I'll find an answer to what I need. You come to church, you know there is a climate there that has been created through the atmosphere of the people. You know God's going to move. Huh? So you can look at the drug addict and say, hey, you need to be in church with me this Sunday. Why? Not because, well, I hope God might be there. No, you say, you come. Why? Because we've created an atmosphere. I know that if you'll get there, God will work in your life. Why? Because there's been a climate that has been created. And I want to tell you, God wants to create a climate in this fellowship to where the Spirit of God has the liberty to do what He wants to do, not just on the second Sunday of the month, not just twice a year, but every Sunday we walk into this building. There is a climate that has been created where the Spirit of God can help change the lives of people. I don't want just a sometime atmosphere, a disruption in the atmosphere. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Isn't that what they say? Huh? Even churches where people hate each other, every once in a while God will move. Why? Because there's an atmospheric disruption sometimes. Listen, you preach the Word of God, you can't help but something happening. And even if the whole body's in disorder, and even if there's no order in anything that's being done, as long as you're preaching the Word of God, sometimes God will show up even by accident. Why is that? Because He honors His Word. His Word doesn't return void. His Word is true. Right? But I don't want that. I just don't want atmosphere. I want a climate. I want to create a climate to where every week when we come in, we know there's something God is getting ready to do special in the lives of somebody's life. Somebody's getting their marriage back this week. Somebody's getting their life. Somebody's getting free from drugs this week. Somebody's being delivered from alcohol this week. Somebody is getting a life back that was tore up by the devil. We don't have to hope about it, but we can believe God to do it. Huh? Do I got the right crowd this morning, or am I just... In other words, people who continually respond to... Listen, it's like, listen, here's how climates are created. And what happens is, in people's lives is, and it's like this. We as churches sometimes create these sustained atmospheres that provide this climate where it's a resistance to the things that God's doing. People are depressed all the time, discouraged all the time. People come in and they're angry, and there's hostility, there's prejudices, there's anger. And if that is an atmosphere that is continually shows up, then the climate's going to be that way. The climate will always be that way. The climate is always going to dictate that. It'll be sustained. It'll become part of who they are. That's why some churches never get past certain points. Why? Because they never change the atmosphere. They always allow they tolerate certain things. They're always not going to move past a certain point. They're never going to allow God to do certain things. They put God in a box. They put Him in they hem Him in. They say, this is what God is. This is what God does. And so they hem God in. They control the atmosphere. They're about controlling the atmosphere. They're about controlling the environment. Because if I can't control it, if I can control it, then that means I can dictate what goes on. Huh? See, you're all acting like me, like you've never been in churches like that. Huh? I've been in churches where there are people who dictate even what happens in church. Let me tell you that. I've been to a church where the Spirit of God was not allowed to move until certain people said it was okay for the Spirit of God to move. And here's what I mean by that. They had these nonverbal signals. You know what I mean? Because see, every church had I got saved in an old Pentecostal church. I mean old Pentecostal. I mean old Pentecostal. They had buns, and they didn't wear makeup. And when they said, come up here, let's seek the Lord, they meant let's seek the Lord. And you didn't get up till they were done with you. And there was always a church mama. And the church mama always decided who was spiritual and who wasn't. And matter of fact, you could have a bunch of junk in your life, and the church mama would walk back and get you and bring you to the altar because she knows something wasn't right in your life. And what happens is that it was a signal, like the Spirit of God couldn't move until a certain person, because we knew that person was spiritual. And if they got spiritual, then that gave everybody else permission to be spiritual, because they're the ones that determine the spiritual barometer of the church. Because nobody could get happy but them. But when they started getting happy, you could get happy. Right? So it conditioned people to believe and do and respond through that spiritual influence of those that were trying to control the environment of the fellowship. See, y'all acting like you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm telling you. But a church needs to get to the place to where the atmosphere and climate of that place is not controlled by what we say goes on, but is controlled by what God says gets to go on. And we don't control what God does. We just allow Him to be manifested as He is and allow people to respond to the gospel with liberty and freedom as they should respond to the gospel. And creating a climate that there is freedom. Number three, a climate that is sustained creates a stronghold. Now, we have atmosphere that sustained creates climate. Spiritual influence that sustained creates an atmosphere. Atmosphere that sustained creates a climate. But a climate that is sustained creates a stronghold. That can be both positive and negative. It can create a song. Now, stronghold, what are strongholds? We talked about that when we did this series on the mind. Strongholds are the way that people think. You know, it's amazing to me what some people think is normal. You know what I mean? A stronghold is in our mind. In other words, certain climates are taught for people to respond to atmospheres. In other words, they build their life in that capacity, that a stronghold in the mind, which becomes the imprisonment or the wall or the cell that holds them into a particular bondage. That spirit is trying to keep them in or trying to hold them in. In other words, when a climate is sustained, then there's a stronghold that takes place. Stronghold can take places in atmosphere of churches just like strongholds can take place in our lives. Strongholds can take place in fellowships just like they do in people's minds and the way they think. Because if a climate is sustained long enough, then a stronghold is created. And that stronghold has the ability to last even for generations. That's why and sometimes strongholds in families are from generation to generation. There's a stronghold of poverty in your family. It can go from generation to generation until that's broken. Alcoholism, drug abuse, all of those things can be generational. Divorce can be generational. Dysfunction can be generational. Right? I look back in my family and everybody was alcoholics. My great-grandfather was an alcoholic. He was shot on a barge in Bromley, Kentucky. They dragged him off the barge. They pulled him up a hill in Constance, and they built him and buried him in the side of the hill. My grandfather struggled with alcoholism. He committed suicide. I had an uncle commit suicide. My father struggled with alcoholism. It was generation to generation. That becomes a stronghold. And just as a stronghold can become in our families, so can strongholds get a hold of the body of Christ. It can go from generation to generation. And when there's a climate that's sustained for a long period of time, all of a sudden there's a stronghold that gets a hold of that body. And when that stronghold gets a hold of that body, then all of a sudden that church responds to that stronghold all the time. In other words, here's what happens. They become more faithful to the institution or the stronghold than they do to God. They say things like, we don't do it that way. We've never done it that way before. We don't do it that way. We've been this for so long, we're not going to change now. We've done this for so long, we're not going to give in to that. This is the way it's always been. This is the way it's got to stay. This is how we've always thought about it. This is the way we've always did it. We're not going to move from here. You can't move me from here. And what happens is, it's the people of God that suffer. Why? Because a stronghold gets in and it sets itself up. And now what happens is, the expression of God can never be expressed, because the stronghold takes precedence over the liberty and the moving of the Spirit of God. That's why we need a fellowship that says the strongholds that will be a part of this fellowship are not going to be the strongholds that keep people back, but it's going to be the atmospheres and climates in this place that produce people to move forward in God. That changes the lives of people. Let me tell you, God is more creative than that's just how we always did it. Huh? Y'all hearing me this morning? I mean, we get so used to church. We get so used to being a certain way. And we say, well, God's done it this way all these years. God, we're going to do it this way. It's the way it's always going to be. I'm going to, And God never has a say. Let me tell you, God should have a say every week. And if God wants to change the program, God can change the program. But we've got to create a climate and an atmosphere for God to do that. See, I'm going to come in one Sunday. I'm going to mess all y'all up. Because the pulpit's going to be back there and all the chairs will be here. See, that would throw some of you off. You'd be so disturbed, you couldn't worship. Huh? Let me tell you how some of y'all, if I came in here and I just had a polo shirt on and jeans, oh, this is the big one. He doesn't have a suit on. He's broke every religious protocol there is. Who does that? Y'all hear what I'm saying? And we set things up in our minds and we say, this is how God moves. This is how God works. And we tell God what He's going to do and what He's not going to do. Let me tell you something. I'm going to church where God don't tell God what to do. I respond to what God does. And we got to create an atmosphere where people can feel free to respond to the things of God. Huh? But this is what we do. But why? Because we're people who like to be in charge. We're people who like to control. We're people who like to tell God and what is spirit and what is not spirit. Let me tell you, there's about 100... Well, you could probably walk into many churches. And you can go up and down the streets of any city and any county around this area or any region. And I'm telling you, you can go into one church and it's not any different than the other church. You can go into another church and it's not any different than another church. You can go into one and you can go down the line and there's nothing different about all of them. You know why? Because they all set up climates and cultures to where they don't... I don't know if I'm communicating right. Here's what I'm saying. I'm going to sum it up in a good old... Let's just say it like this. How about we create a church and a body of people where we just say, we'll let God be God and let everything be God's and let Him have His way. And if in the worship He wants to heal the sick, we'll let Him heal the sick. Huh? If He wants to interrupt our whatever we do, He can do it. Why? Because I'm tired of playing footsies. I'm tired of people coming into our churches and leaving the same way they came in. That's not the intention of God. That's not the... If you're going to win a city, you're not going to win a city by doing everything... Oh, my. You got to pull down the strongholds that keep people in bondage. You've got to create climates where people can be free. You've got to create atmospheres where people can be free. Just like there's strongholds over generations, there's strongholds over regions, there's strongholds over cities, there's strongholds over this nation. You hearing what I'm saying? There's strongholds over this city. There are some spiritual influences that have influenced the city we live in. Somebody's got to tear those things down. Somebody's got to deal with it. Somebody's got to deal with the drug addiction in this city. Somebody's got to deal with some of the things that are happening around us. We can't just come to church and hide and close our doors and ignore it. Why not create an atmosphere that when somebody walks in here that needs delivered, soon as they come in, they realize this is a climate that God can set them free. Hey! I don't know if you know or not, but I'm a little bit happy. Hey! Why not? Why not be a church that does that? Why not be a church that does that? I'm telling you right now, I ain't going to be put in a box. I am not going to be... Because here's what's happened. When a stronghold is contained, or when a stronghold is maintained over a period of time, it creates a culture. It creates a culture. And all of a sudden, there's a culture. The culture we live in ultimately determines by what we think in our minds. Now, I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to show you one other thing, and then we're going to pray. But I want you to hear this. A culture, this is the definition of a culture. The culture is the totality of social transmitted behavior patterns, whether it be arts, belief, institutions, or all other products of human work or fault. In other words, a culture is a way we administrate our lives. In other words, it said socially transmitted behavior. In other words, you know what is acceptable by what others tell you is acceptable. See, that's what a culture does. It stands socially transmit, and it socially transmits the behavior patterns of a region or an area. So you're told what to believe. You're told what to believe. You're told what to think. Why? Because other people think that way in the culture you're in. So when they're told that, you're told what to think. You know what institutions to value, what institutions to devalue, based on what's being transmitted to you through the culture in which we live or what you live. We see that going on. And look, all you got to do is watch the debates and watch our election this current year. People are telling people what to think. They're telling people how to believe. Our culture is telling people how to believe. And what happens is, when a culture becomes entrenched, what happens is we begin to call wrong right and right wrong. We call good people bad and bad people good. Okay, just me. The stronghold determines the culture we live in. That's why you can go to different parts of the world and the culture and the world, and you will see that there's certain things that have been set up structurally. In other words, you can see, listen, there's a big difference in the South than there is in the North. Y'all know that? Why? Because it's a culture. What is it? It's a culture. It is a climate that has been sustained with an atmosphere for many years. And there are some people that are more loyal to their culture than they are God. And I want to tell you, that's what happens in areas and regions. There are people who become more loyal to the culture they live in instead of to the Word of God, instead of to God. And they don't change because they're more willing to yield to the culture than they are to yield to God. And so what happens is that stronghold, it keeps people in continual bondage. In other words, the culture to where a principality, and all of a sudden there's the God of this world. All of a sudden he has a stronghold, and he is the authority in a region. He's the authority that controls the area. Now here's what I want you to see this morning, and then we're going to pray. What I want you to see is this. Many churches flourish because they've learned how to be successful in the culture. See, many churches are successful because they've learned how to be successful within a culture. Okay? But true success in the Spirit of God is that we learn to change the culture. See, a church that can change the culture is a church that has an effect on the culture. But many churches learn how to flourish in the midst of a culture. So it's possible that many ministries learn to be successful in a culture and they think like the culture. And just because the church building is filled, somehow we equate that as success. And if there is success with people who respond to the wrong spirit but are still held captive to a stronghold, mentally they're the same as the culture. Listen, the reason why some people can go into churches and they can be perceived as successful churches, they can go in and experience the culture right in the church. But the difference is, because they're a church that yields to the culture, they're never changed. They leave just like they come in. But when God sets up a stronghold in the church, when God creates an atmosphere and a climate in the church, all of a sudden, we're not a subculture. We become one who changes the culture. So people come in and they don't leave the same as they came in. They leave differently than when they came in. And so we're able to change the culture. Now, it said there are many voices that express themselves there in Corinthians. If the Spirit of God doesn't have full expression, then it never can occupy time or space. In other words, if the Spirit of God can't move, then it can never manifest. If we create a culture that God cannot come and visit His people, then what we've done is we've limited God and there's never a manifestation of His presence. There's never an expression of God in the people. There's never an expression of what God does in the people. Now here's what I want you to get. I read in Hebrews and I said this. I said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things seen. For by it the elders obtained a good thing. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Adam, come. You guys come. Now here's what I want you to say. Faith, you come into this building and faith is what you're believing God for. It's something you do not see. But you're hoping for it. You're hoping to see God do it. But it's really not faith until it occupies and becomes manifested in the Spirit. Until its substance, it's not faith. Listen to me. Until God can manifest His presence, it's not faith, it's hope. In other words, we come into the building hoping for God to do something. Hoping for God to move in our life. But it doesn't become faith until it's manifested in our life. And it becomes tangible. Faith brings what you've been hoping for into the natural realm. And here's what happens. Are y'all ready? This is how it works. You come into the church and you say, God, I have a need in this area. I'm hoping and believing that you'll move in this area. It's what you're hoping for, right? All of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes and touches your life. And that which you've been praying for, God does. Now, what does that activate? It activates faith. Because once God does it, I have faith in God, and I believe God. See, that's why nobody can tell me God's not real. You know why? Because God has touched my life in areas that I've hoped for. And so what did it do? It created faith in my area, life. So now when I go to the next need of my life, I don't go with hope. Woo! I don't go with hope. I go with faith. Why? Because what I've ever hoped in, God has always done. And if God does that enough, then I go with faith. And when I live by faith and walk by faith, what does that do? That changes the atmosphere. It changes culture. It changes everything. You know why? Because if I had a healing and God heals me, now I walk in faith. When I get up and speak about what God and the goodness of God did, what do I have the opportunity to do? To change the atmosphere, to change climates, to change the culture. So in order to change the culture and create a church where God is moving, we need a manifestation of His presence. We have to allow God to move in our lives. And what God wants to do this morning is He wants to take your hope and turn it into faith. Are y'all getting it? I'm telling you right now, I could run across them chairs and banshee boo-hoot all around this building. Why? Because there's things in my life that God has done that nobody can take from me. And I once hoped for it, but now He's done it, and it's become a part of my faith and my life. Now I have a culture and a climate in my life that exalts God. Why? So when the Spirit of God begins to move, I want to change the atmosphere. Why? Because I am not going to allow somebody to steal from me what God has already done. Stand with me this morning if you would. Listen, God wants to take your hope and transition it into faith. That's what God wants to do this morning. Now, I don't know this morning if I've communicated it, how I've wanted it to be expressed. But to put it in the bottom line this morning is that I want to create a church and an atmosphere and a climate and stronghold in this place to where people can come in with hope, but they leave with faith. Huh? Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I've been to churches when drunkards walked in drunk, but they left sober. Huh? See, y'all, what does that do? It creates a climate. Creates atmosphere. And then it creates a climate. I want the climate of this place to be such a way where when we come in on Sunday morning, we have no idea what God's going to do. We have no idea how the wind of the Spirit is going to blow. We have no idea what God's got in store. We have no idea who's going to show up. We have no idea who's going to be. We don't know who's going to send us our way. We don't know who God's going to bring our way. But I want to tell you, you live in a church that lives in religion and stronghold. God's not going to send people there. Why? Why would He send people that have need to a place that's dead and religious and has no freedom in the act? Why would God do that? That's an injustice to those that are seeking God. Right? But you create a climate where people can get free? I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will lead people in here you never thought He would lead in here. And so this morning, we want to pray for those who want to go from just hope this morning to faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You're waiting for God to bring a manifestation of His presence to an area of your life. It's a hopeful, you have a prayer of hope this morning. You've come into this building. You said, God, there's an area of my life I've been hoping for God to change. There's an area of my life I've been hoping for God to transform. And I've not seen the manifestation of that yet, but I'm still going to believe God. I'm still going to believe you're going to do it. And I still believe, God, that this is a climate, an atmosphere which you can do that in. I want you to get out of where you are and just come forward this morning and come down to this altar. We want to agree with you in prayer this morning. Come on, quickly, quickly, quickly. You've been hoping for something. You've been praying for something. You've been hoping for a manifestation of something. It's not come yet. You've been trusting God for it, and you're just waiting. You're waiting on it. You're waiting on it. You're waiting on it. God wants to make it real this morning. God wants to make it real. God wants to make it a point of contact, a point of faith this morning. Ha 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 ha. Woo! I feel good in here this morning. I don't know about you, but I hate the devil. Sing something. Just take a moment, let's worship for just a moment as we pray for these. Come on, church, help me create an atmosphere where there can be freedom this morning.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hearts, heavens. There is freedom.
Jesus. A couple guys helped me this morning.
There is freedom.
Hallelujah.
Jesus reigns in this place. Of mercy and grace, falling on every day. For there is freedom.
Father, manifest faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Manifest. Father, manifest the presence of God. Oh, Jesus, Lord Jesus. Father, right now, manifestation of your presence. Father, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Lord, I pray now a manifestation of faith. Lord, she's praying. She sought you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Lord, she no longer seeks things, but she seeks you. And in seeking you, God, you will manifest your presence now. Fire! In Jesus' name. Father, touch this. Faith. Faith, faith, faith. That's it. Ha 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 ha. Father, fresh touch of God right there. Oh, my. Healing right now. Woo. A renewed sense of faith. A strength, oh God. That's it. That's it. Father, thank you. Tony, God wants to bring His presence on you, my friend. He wants to touch your life. He wants every area of your life. And I know there's some areas that you've struggled.
Yes.
But it's all right. It's all right. Because when God touches you, and when the fire of God gets on you,
It's going to so transform your life, you'll never be the same. And the fact that you keep seeking and you keep coming, don't let the devil tell you that there's no hope. I don't want you to. You come with hope, and God will manifest faith. You hear what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
I'm telling you, this is your day. Father, in fire. Shoo. Woo. New season. New season. New anointing. Healing. Fire. Fire. Father, break the chain. Break. New day. New day. New day. New hour. Woo. Fresh, fresh, fresh. Fresh fire. Manifestation of your presence. Fire. How can I pray for you, Chad?
Just to respond to God's word, let God into my life.
Father, I thank you for Chad.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I thank you for his heart.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, I thank you, God, that his sensitivity to the Spirit of God has caused him to respond.
Yes.
It's his greatest desire to please you.
Yes.
And I pray, God, that you'll give him and you'll help him, God. I pray, Father, you'll speak to his heart. And I pray, Father, that you'll help him walk accordingly to your word. And I thank you for him. I thank you for his friendship. God, you love him more than anything. Anything he could ever imagine. Chad, have you ever given your life to the Lord? Would you like to do that?
I do want.
Let's just pray. Just repeat this prayer to me. Say, Father, forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart. I believe that you sent your son, Jesus. And he rose from the dead. He died for my sin. And I confess him as Lord of my life. Now come into my heart and help me to live according to your word. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Now Jesus is my Lord, and he's my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, let the fire of God come on Chad. Give him the ability to overcome, oh God. Let your fire work in his life. In Jesus' name. Fire. Dreams and visions, oh God. Woo! Anita. Adam. Let me tell you what I see. I see this cord. It's like a stronghold. It's generational. It torments. It tries to keep you in a mindset, keep you in a bondage that you don't really want. But it's generational. It's been passed down. It's ways of thinking. It's been, you know, a climate that has been sustained for so long and it's created this stronghold. And the enemy don't want you to relinquish it. And it just keeps wrapping and keeps trying to wrap tighter. And you keep trying to break free and break free and break free. And your persistence, your seeking, God's going to break it free. And I just feel this snapping, this breaking of these generational things that try to hang on to you. I mean, they're rooted in bitterness. They're rooted in anger. They're rooted in things that you know, that have tried to come on you and tried to dictate your life and tried to dictate who you are. And God's going to change that. And there's going to be a spirit of joy that comes on you, Anita. There's going to be a pleasantness that comes on you. You are not what people say you are. You will be what God says you are. And this is going to be a new day. There's a breaking of those strongholds that is happening right now. I've had you on my heart since last night. I've just had you on my heart since I seen you last night. And I just saw the enemy just trying to wrap you, trying to entangle you. But you've been faithful. You've been persistent. You've been seeking God.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, this is your day. This is your day. This is time. It's time for the atmosphere of your home to change. It's time for the atmosphere of your life to change. And you've got to choose that. You've got to wake up every day and say, I will not give the enemy this place in my life. He is no longer going to dictate my... Look, God's going to break. Lord, I speak blessing over Anita. I come against the spirit of poverty. I come against the strongholds that have been passed down from generations. I come against the spirit of disappointment. I come against the spirit of depression, oppression. I come against those which have spoken over her life, negativity. I speak life over Anita right now. And I pray that the best days of her life are ahead. And I break these bonds now. Let freedom now reign in her life. Ba 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 sha. Shoo. Ha. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Man, I don't know what you all are walking through. But for a few weeks now, I've just been sensing that the enemy is just trying to attack on different levels, different ways. And I've not talked to you. I have no idea what you're walking through. But let me tell you what I see. As y'all were worshiping this morning, I just saw the peace of God come on you. Just rest on you just like a blanket. And all of the worry of what the future might hold or what's in store. And all the worry that the enemy tries to bring. And especially on you, Sheila. You carry a lot. But we're going to release that this morning. We're just going to release it to God this morning. Father, let the peace of God rule and reign on Sheila right now. Take every burden, every care, every concern. Lord, you know the things that she cares about most and loves the most. You know her thought life. You know her prayers. You know her deepest inner being. There it is. It's just a rest. Just rest in the presence of God. That's rest. That's rest. Lord Jesus. Father, just let the strength of the Holy Ghost be on my brother. Be his strength. Be his armor. Be his armor. Let that quiet, calm strength be manifested. Let his faith come to the surface. Let the authority that is in his voice and the authority that you have given him, Lord, may he walk in that spirit of authority. And I pray just the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be on him like never before. That's it. That's it. That's it. Just lift your hands. Just receive. Just receive the download of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. That's it. Woo! I need a couple guys to pray with him. Just pray with him. Just pray with him. Just pray with him. There it is, Judy. Just take it. Drunk. Lift your hands. Fire! You know you're God's daughter, don't you? It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Let me tell you, the enemy's tried to steal your self-worth. I'm telling you, God wants to give your self-worth back. He'll give you beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. He'll get your joy back. He'll get your self-worth back. And I don't know what you've walked through, but I'm telling you, it's time. It's time for a breakthrough. It's time for just, Father, just every avenue of the Holy Spirit. I need some ladies to pray for her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is freedom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's sing this chorus together.
Flowers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
Hallelujah! 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 Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Hadn't this been a wonderful day? I still feel the presence of the Lord. Now we're going to pray and dismiss. And those of you that are members, you can remain. You'll give me 5 minutes just to get my composure and change my shirt. And I'll be right back in and we'll begin our business meeting. And but we're so glad that you've been in the house of God this morning. Father, bless your people as we go. We pray, Father, the work that you've done in people's hearts this morning, that you'll be faithful to complete in their lives. We believe in a manifestation of your presence. We believe in a manifestation of your Spirit. We thank you, God, that you're allowing us to create climates and strongholds, create atmospheres where people can be free. Help us to be the church that you've called us to be. And we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all of God's people said, amen. Now there are people that are still being ministered to up here. If you quietly want to use the restroom or get a drink of water and come back in, kind of do that quietly, please. And we'll start our business meeting in about 5 minutes. Just give me a few minutes to change. God bless.